So when you see a very difficult situation, and then I remember when I was growing up how strong this country was, then a song comes.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards, and in this episode, one of Somalia's most distinguished public officials and songwriters.
The highest expression of the highest level is a poem or a song. My name is Dr. Abdurrahman Duale Bele. I am the Minister of Finance currently in Somalia. And I do what finance ministers do, mobilize resources, and manage the resources, basically.
And managing Somalia's resources is no small feat, given the scope of its recovery from decades of conflict and instability. The song we're hearing was penned by Duale Bele and reflects Somalia's long-standing challenges from the point of view of three students trying to educate themselves amidst the violence and social destruction. The song is a call for collective action to change their future and, by extension, the future of the country. Abdirahman Duale Bele was in Washington for the IMF World Bank annual meetings last month, where he and his team were looking to secure the additional support they need to continue Somalia's recovery from its dark past.
So I'd like to start by asking you to paint us a little picture.
Yes.
of the place that Somalia is emerging from.
Somalia, unlike any other fragile state, had no recognized government for 20 years. I think Somalia is rising from very, very, very difficult position. It was once, if I may say so, described as a failed state.
Mm.
I don't know how people can function, you would say, without a government. It is a total suspension of law and order. It is a total lack of institutions. Everybody went back to their roots, and there were so many small communities with elders managing it. There's no government. It's very difficult. I think we have been saved by our elders, part of our culture of free negotiation and negotiation. And I think we have sobered up when we saw that the country was slipping away, and we were almost losing our sovereignty in many ways. We realized that anybody who could go outside were going outside. And, you know, a land cannot be in a vacuum. You know, if you don't have a government, recognized government, and if you don't have schools, if you don't have anything binding these communities of individuals and small clans and sub-clans, then you will all of a sudden see that you don't exist anymore.
So what was the turning point?
It just dawned to us, generally, this cannot be sustained. I think the turning point was 2012, when the first government was elected in a manner that resembled normalcy, and the international community recognized that. So from there on, I think we are climbing a very steep mountain, so to speak, and we are heading for the summit of the mountain.
So insecurity has been a long-standing issue in many parts of Somalia.
Yes.
To what extent does this disrupt the implementation of policies, economic or otherwise?
Security is always a problem. I don't think there is any African country that does not have security issues. But when we compare where we are today and where we are coming from, I think it's a tremendous development, tremendous advancement that we were able to make. Still, we are not out of the woods. There are still some security problems, some terrorist elements in Somalia. But I think, by and large, we have the rules, we have the bills, rules that guide our economy nationwide. Here and there, you have spots that are some issues that we have to settle. But I think we have the common agenda worked out. That is to say, one nation, one economy, one budget, so to speak. That's where we are heading. We're not there yet, but we are very close. And with the help of the international community, I think we are out of danger.
And so I'm sure there's a long list of priorities, but what do you think are the most pressing issues today?
Today, the most pressing issue is to deal with our debt with the international community. Mm. This is the most important element. Somalia did not have access to financial resources of the international community other than small capacity building here and there. And, of course, humanitarian when that happens. So the most important issue that we are all working on, in fact, the Prime Minister is right here in Washington, D.C., and the governor of the central bank is here. I mean, you name it, we are here. And we are here just because we want to address the issue that is most pressing to our country, and that's the debt relief. Once the debt is relieved, then I think we will be able to benefit, just like any other country, benefit the concessional resources of the windows of the IMF and the World Bank and the African Development Bank and the other institutions. We will then be able to employ people who are unemployed. My country is it's a youthful country, very young people, 70% of them, and no employment because we have been in this issue of problems. So this is the number one issue that gets our attention and the attention of the president and the attention of the prime minister and his government.
And so how would you characterize the relationship between Somalia and the international institutions these days?
The characterization that I would give between Somalia and the international community is strong. Very, very, very strong. I think I would say the stars are aligned. We have turned the corner with the help of the international community, be it bilateral countries, partners, or the IFIs, the financial institutions, international financial institutions. They have been hand-holding us to bring us to where we are. I mean, when you are lost, you have to genuinely say that we are lost. And those who know the way will indicate to you with all honesty you should follow that until you find your feet. And we have been following religiously, I should say, the roadmap. So we can only be grateful for what they have done for us.
So in Somalia, after so many years of non-functioning government, how challenging is it to regain people's trust in government institutions?
I think to a normal person working in a normal country, it is unimaginable what it is like to lose everything, to lose institutions and to lose the records that you have, to lose your history of governance. It is just simply unimaginable. But we have lived through this. We have peace. It is not easy. It's not easy. At some point, some of the ministers had no offices. Some of the ministers had no staff working. It's just the name of that person roaming around, not finding a place to sit, and nobody working with him. But now it's not the same. We have a functioning government. We have ministries. We know where every ministry is, and we know the office of the minister and his secretariat and his staff, the professionals. We are fully functioning government now, and we are working very closely with our state members of the federal government. We will put together our budget together very, very soon, and we have been able to agree on all the bills that will govern our finances, the taxes, the customs, all that, some of them already harmonized, and others we are working on them with the help of the IMF and the rest of the international community.
So with all that has been going on over the years, there is now a very large global Somali diaspora.
Yes.
How closely tied is that community with the community within Somalia?
The diaspora for Somalia has been a blessing. It has been a blessing. They contribute significantly to our economy, be it their businesses coming back to Mogadishu, their skills coming back to Mogadishu, but more importantly, their remittances. Mm. I would say 80-90% of the Somali families were fed during the problems from outside by none other than diaspora. And so really, I cannot overemphasize the value of our diaspora to our country.
So climate change,
yes,
is a topic that is on everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. How important is climate change to a government that has such huge fiscal challenges and with so few resources? I mean, where does climate change sit on your agenda?
I really think that climate change is a big issue. It's a big problem for the world. And we are part of the world. And you cannot ignore climate issues. We just had, for the first time in our country, something that is similar to a tsunami in some of our shores. Killed a lot of people and a lot of livestock. Somalia is the land of livestock, and they just disappeared. So we recognize it. I don't know what else we can do because of the resources that we have. We have very meager resources, but I think recognizing it and putting it the weight that it requires is the beginning of doing something. So we are part of the international community, and whatever is challenges being faced by the world, Somalia is part of that.
So where would you like to see Somalia be, say, 5 years from now?
Somalia 5 years from now, I really think if the trajectory that we are working on continues, we have to be a middle-income country. It is not an overstatement. I know what that takes, but knowing the Somali people and their acumen.
And resilience.
And resilience. They have survived. You name it, they have been through. And if we can survive all these things, if we can build malls and businesses in the center of Minneapolis and in London and in Columbus, Ohio, and in South Africa, and in Nairobi, I think we can do that in Somalia. And so 5 years down the road, we have to be able, 5 years down the road, to be able to cover the requirements of running a government. At least. We should not be asking for handouts. So 5 years, the budget of the government must be funded by internal resources. I would still think that there will be some money required for investment in rebuilding the country, because this is the country that has been totally destroyed. No roads, no water systems, no everything has been affected negatively. But if we continue the way we are continuing now, we will be a country that is self-sufficient in terms of running the different aspects of government.
And standing on its feet.
Is standing on its feet.
So you have a very interesting background in that you're not only well-known as an engaged public official, but you are also a distinguished artist and songwriter.
Yeah.
Do you believe that art and culture can play a role in the development of the country?
Yes, I think that when we lost everything else, the culture remained and the literature remained, and it is the culture of the Somali community, the elders and the individuals, to articulate everything that we want to show through art and through poems and through songwriting. So I'm just one of those. I don't think I can say myself I am a big artist. It is just when the emotions reach a level, then that expression converts itself into these songs and things, and you just see it saying, you just see yourself saying it, and so when you see a very difficult situation, and you compare that difficult situation with how this country was when you were growing up, then a song comes. A song comes, or a short poem comes, especially living overseas. All my professional life, I worked for a bank, African Development Bank, and in Africa. So I go to African countries and I see what they are doing, and I remember what we did and how we are now. I participate in a lot of meetings where Africans all congregate, and Somalia is not there, the chair is there, their flag is there, there is nobody. And then I remember when I was growing up how strong this country was. So then, what else, you know? The expression, the highest expression of the highest level is a poem or a song. And that's how I do it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And this is one of the songs that Abderrahmane Doualé Belé was inspired to write about the development challenges of his country. In this song, students are calling for collective action to help change their future and the future of Somalia. Abderrahmane Doualé Belé is Somalia's finance minister. He talked to me while he was in Washington for the IMF World Bank annual meetings. You can watch the webcast of Dr. Bailey's presentation about effective engagement in fragile states at imf.org. We've included a link to his song in this podcast post. And if you like what you're hearing, subscribe to IMF Podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.